Let us pray for the reading of God's word. Father, we praise you for your word, which is a gift to us. We praise you that your word is powerful. It's filled with life, and it has the power to transform us and anyone who reads it. Father, we pray that you will help us to apply whatever we learn today into our lives, that it may bear fruit 100-fold. And we pray that you will help us, give us the courage that we share with others whatever we learn today. Father, these things we pray with great gratitude in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Today's scripture reading is found on page 957 in your pew Bibles, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Steve. So as I've been announcing and I've been saying, today we begin a sermon series on how to pray for our children. You will learn something, even if you have been praying for them all your life. Throughout this sermon series, we will be looking at God's heart for our children, his promises, and how to claim those promises by faith in our prayers for them. Please invite anyone you know who would benefit from this sermon series to come, and please ignore the negative comments again you may have seen on Facebook about me or our church. We must love those who persecute us. We must be doing something right, as I said, or the devil wouldn't be spending time, his precious time, because he's not omnipresent like God is. Devil cannot be in two places at once. If he's spending his time and energy attacking us, it's because we're doing something right. Okay, so let's turn our eyes to the longest psalm in the Bible. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. It has a similar length to some of the Bible's shorter books, like Philippians, James, or Ruth. Psalm 119 is a prayer that includes many different elements that are key. Listen to this, key to powerful prayers, including and especially prayers of petition and praise for our children. As you know, this is my favorite psalm. Really, really, favorite psalm. So the author of this psalm used the letters of the Hebrew alphabet to write the various sections. Each section falls under one letter of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Ha, all those, it goes one by one. I feel like I'm in Hebrew class again, saying my ABCs in Hebrew. We will be meditating on one or two of each of these sections, so one or two sections that has the alphabet, the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, during this sermon series. The writer of this psalm is unknown, but many believe it was David. Some Bible scholars believe that King David used this psalm, in fact, to teach his son Solomon. Imagine that. Maybe that's why he was so wise. To teach his son Solomon both the Hebrew alphabet and the alphabet of the spiritual life. That's what some scholars believe. And that's why they believe he separated it each section according to each letter. He gave it assigned a letter of the Hebrew alphabet to each section. Most of our children are growing up, right? But it's not too late to use this psalm to pray for them with a new and fresh confidence and assurance. We will pray for every aspect of their lives and character, and we will persevere in prayer. This is a thing for the long haul. I always say, the children of my three children that have given me the most headaches are the ones that I believe have contributed for me to become a woman of prayer. This is a long thing. We don't just pray and stop praying. We pray and pray. That's the secret. How long did Jesus tell us to pray? Remember the parable? The woman in the middle of the night, she wouldn't stop knocking. The man wanted to go to sleep and she wouldn't stop knocking. Come, give me help for my children. Wouldn't stop knocking. The passage says that the man finally got up. Not because he wanted to do it, but because he was sick and tired of hearing this woman not letting him sleep. And Jesus uses that to tell us, that's how I want you to pray. That's how consistently I want you to pray. Especially, I would add today, for our children. The title of this first sermon on this sermon series is God's Heart for Our Children. So, what is God's heart for our children? Well, I already gave you the answer in the passage I sent. If you read it, I know some people do read it and meditate on it every week in the email. Some people just go, oh yeah. Well, it's for you to meditate on it and not just ignore it. I already gave you the answer in the passage I sent this week through our weekly email asking you to meditate on it. Let me read it to you. Again, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. In righteousness, you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication, sorry, I skipped one part. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to cause havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. That was from Isaiah 54, 13 through 17. You have it on your email. This is the passage I sent. So, this is the heart of God for the children of Israel, but for all of his children, and for your children and my children. Until you believe, listen to this. This is the first thing that I want to challenge you to think about. Until you believe that God wants to bless your children, you won't be able to pray for them effectively. You won't. So maybe the first step is to repent from the way you have judged and criticize your children. Maybe we need to repent from ways in which we have made them feel like they don't measure up or they'll never amount to anything good. Believe me, I've counseled enough people to tell you that is a common thread from many children. They felt they couldn't measure up, they weren't good enough, they just couldn't do it as mom or dad did it. It is a common thread. Let me say it again. Until you believe that God wants to bless your children, you won't be able to pray effectively for them. The thing our children need the most from us is to know that we love them and we believe God does too. The last thing our children need is that our voices echo the lies they believe about themselves, that they are lazy, useless, not working hard enough, not successful, not doing this or that right. That's the last thing they need to hear from you as parents. They don't need that. The world is taking care of that. This does not mean that we don't see their flaws, their weaknesses, and their sin, but it does mean that we don't have to broadcast them to them every day or every time we see them. And it does mean that we do talk about that. That's what prayer is for. We bring those things that we honestly see to God, but not to them. Can they change themselves? If they could, they would have done it already, many of them. We bring those things to God. We don't bombard our children with criticism and a sense of you don't measure up. If you would just do A, B, and C, your life would be better. How do you think they feel when you do that? Repent from the way you have judged and criticized your children, and you have nitpicked things. They need to hear about their strengths. Find the good. Find those little things that are good and make them big. Don't magnify their weaknesses and their mistakes. Magnify their good things that they have. They need to hear about their strengths. Who else is going to speak that into their lives but you? Who else? That's your job. I have done the job of many parents in kids' lives. As a pastor, you need to do your job as a parent. Find the good in your child. Bring it up. Bring it out. Highlight it. Put it up there. Tell others about it. Highlight their strengths. They need to hear about their strengths. And everybody has a strength. God needs to hear about their weaknesses. See, we have it wrong. God needs to hear about their weaknesses. God needs to hear about what we would like to see changed. That's what prayer is for. God needs to hear about their flaws, their weaknesses, their sin, but in the context of intercessory prayer. So, let's do that. In light of today's passage, let's read that. Let's get to that with verses 1 through 3. Blessed are those, I may be paraphrasing, but it's still the same. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Let me pause there. A critical parent would say, yep, that's why God is not blessing my child, because he's not blameless. Blessed are those, verse 2, who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Yep, when my child seeks God with all his heart, everything will go well. They do no wrong but follow his ways. Okay. So then what do we do with this? Instead of seeing how they don't measure up to this, you know what we do? We bring it to God and we say, oh God, you say in this verse that blessed are those whose ways are blameless. My child is not there, but oh, how I want him to be there or her to be there. This verse says that those who walk in your ways according to the law of the Lord are blessed. Those who keep your statutes, Lord, my prayer is that my child will be one of these soon, that he will keep your statutes, that he will learn to seek you, that she will learn to seek you with all her heart, and do no wrong and follow your ways. You see, we bring to God the heart that he has for our children. Now our heart full of doubt and criticism and putting down, we bring to God God's heart for our children. That's how we begin to intercede for them. You know that you can't change your children. I hope you know this by now. Do I need to tell you that? But you know who can? God. So we bring this to God. So let me read the verse again. Without you measuring this to your child's life, but praying it into his or her life. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow his ways. This is the ideal. This is what we measure our children by. If they fall short, then we pray that God will help them to live by these standards. We don't say, you're not living by those standards, and blabber about what they don't do right. We pray these things that are straight from God's heart into our children's lives. And God loves to hear his word, his heart, his promises. So give them back to him. Say, this is the ideal. This is what I want for my child. Here, Lord, here's a basket, and it contains verses 1 through 3. This is what I'm praying for my children today. We talk to God about what he says in his word. So it would again sound something like this. Lord, you say here in your word that blessed are those whose ways are blameless and walk according to your law. You also say, blessed are those who keep your statutes and seek you with all their heart. Lord, this cannot be said about my child, but I pray this becomes true of my child. That's how you do it. That's how you use verses 1 through 3 to pray for your child. Something like that. Then we go on using the guidelines of Psalm 119. We're going to go through verses 4 and 5. We begin then to intercede using God's word again. Verses 4 and 5 say, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. So you pray this man who wrote this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is longing. He's recognizing that the ways, the guidelines of the Lord are to be fully obeyed. And he's saying, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Oh, that my heart would be in line with this, oh God. That's what he's praying, and that's what you pray for your children. So you pray, Father, in this verse, you remind me, you remind us all that you have laid down guidelines or precepts that are to be fully obeyed. I pray today that my son, you put the name there, or my daughter, or my granddaughter, or great-granddaughter, you put the name there. I pray that his or her ways may become steadfast. And I pray that there would be in them a desire, like it's portrayed here in the psalmist when he says, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. We pray, Lord, let my children have that desire born within them from you, that they would want that. They would want to seek your ways and to obey your decrees. And then you expand your intercession. You follow the guideline. It's very simple. powerful prayer follows the guidelines of scriptures. You follow the guideline then to verses 6 through 8. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I'm going to pause there. And then you can pour out your heart, your tears before God. That's when you can tell him, I'm so frustrated with this child, God. I've taught this child better. I feel like he or she puts me to shame. I'm embarrassed of some of the choices he or she has made. He's not considering your commands. That's when you do it. Not to your child. You say it to God. You bring your frustrations about your child to God. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. You pray, let my child praise you with an upright heart. Anything you see here that is good, you don't just sweep through it. You go specifically and methodically through it. I'm telling you the secret to see your child out of the mire, out of the pit. You go through it specifically, strategically, because Psalm 119 from beginning to end contains awesome expressions of God's heart for his children. We use that to pray for our children. So you pray, let my child learn. It says, as I learn your righteous laws. You already prayed that they would seek God, but you pray it again from a different angle. You pray it from every angle that the psalm shows you. You pray, as I learn your righteous way, teach me to learn how to pray for my children and teach my child to learn your righteous ways. The verse ends with, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. You can continue to pour your heart out to God. Don't forsake my child, O God. Don't leave him in lukewarmness. Don't leave him in that desire to control whatever you see. Because we parents see. We see their weaknesses, which is not to proclaim them and shove them down their throat or spit them on their faces. That's not our job. But we do say them to God. I see their tendency to go astray, God. I see their love of money. I see that they don't care. They don't respect your laws. They're living with their girlfriend or boyfriend. Forgive them, Lord, and teach them the right way. We say it to God. We bring it to God. We ask God to teach our children to obey, to seek him, to follow him. The entire sermon was just based on a few verses that I want you to learn how to pray for your children. There are many more coming, and they all address the character and the different sides of the life of your child. Persevere. Begin with these this week. Pray them faithfully. It's not wasted time when you use the scriptures to pray for your children. There is power in mixing God's word and prayer. There is power in knowing God's heart for your children. There is power in biting your tongue from criticism and put downs. You know, I've had to even ask God to help me with my silence. Because silence sometimes can project disapproval and disgust to our children. And I've asked God, help me to see my children the way you see them. Because you know how he sees them? Very differently than you. And our prayer, and my prayer, is that you will get to see your children the way God sees them. Maybe you err on the other side, that you don't see a flaw in your child. Maybe you've babied them too much, and God will show you the wrong areas that you need to be praying for. The areas where you need to be faithful in naming that sin of lukewarmness or whatever it may be, and bringing it up to God. because every child needs prayer, no matter where they're at. There's power in knowing God's heart for your children. There's power in claiming God's promises for your children. So if you haven't begun, let's do it faithfully beginning this week, and you will see miracles in your children's lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you gave us children. We thank you that you are reminding us of your heart for our children. We want to repent from ways in which we have contributed to shun them the way the world shuns them, making them believe that they're not good enough or successful enough, or that they won't amount to anything good because they don't have A, B, or C. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. We repent. We want to start afresh. If we have babied our children so much that we don't name their sin, even in prayer, forgive us, Lord, and help us to want for our children truth, righteousness, and help us to speak the truth in love. Father, we pray that you will change our hearts and our eyes to see our children the way you see them, and to pray for our children, your heart for them. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.